Now, I am passionate this year about Psalm 24, and my wife and I are passionate about Psalm 24. We just love this psalm. We have been reading it over and over again. My wife and I, she started me on it, and now it's like every second sermon I've preached this year has been Psalm 24 at different churches. One of the wonderful things about being with Compassion is you can pick one sermon a year and just do it again and again. And if you're passionate about it, you can just go for it. And I love this passage. So I've probably over-preached it, but thank you for listening to it. I just want to honor Tracy. You read that so well. Thank you, Tracy. It really moved my heart. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to read the Bible with it like fire in your bones because you believe every word in it. And I just honor you for the way you read it. And let's read it like that today. Let's come around this chapter. Like Tracy said, this is a psalm of David. This is a very key psalm. I'm going to build some background around Psalm 24. I'm going to talk about David and his journey in this. Then I want to talk about Jesus and Psalm 24. And then we'll go from there. I'm going to finish with a story from Compassion and one more video from the Philippines. So let's go Psalm 24. Okay, the background of this. So this is a psalm of David. He had become the king. Samuel had anointed David to be the king when he was a young man. And then we know the story where Saul had started to persecute and become jealous of David. But David's response to Saul was incredible. He was so humble and honoring to Saul. The humility of David to Saul was incredible. Have you ever humbled yourself for something that you really want? I remember when I was chasing my wife. I wrote her an email. It wasn't an email. Maybe it was like Messenger. It was before Facebook. It was like some kind of platform. And I wrote her 10 reasons why you should let me take you out for dinner. 5 reasons why you shouldn't. Because I was at the Baptist Theo College. And I wanted to give her both sides of the argument. I should have just finished it. And then I wrote a conclusion. As you can see, there's more reasons why you should let me take you out for dinner. I humbled myself before her. And then I remember catching up with her, and I was so excited. I was just so in love with this girl. She was she lived in the city, but she would drive half an hour to one of the poorest parts of Western Australia to serve, where there's great poverty in our city. And I was just, oh, I just thought that was so attractive. What a beautiful girl. And I catch up with her, and I'm just in love with this girl. I'm like, I've never dated anyone else before. I've been waiting for like the most godly girl I can find. And I finally found her. I'm just like, oh, this is the one, this is the one. This is what she said to me. You're not country enough. You won't fit in with my family. That's how she rejected me. I don't know how to change that, Roz. It was so humbling. So I said to her, actually, just so everyone knows, yesterday I went to the tractor. Like I said before, I put on the back of the tractor the firefighter unit. I was ready to protect the farm, Roz. I was ready, Rozzy. So I wrote her a text message. What are the odds? 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 1,000,000? If she says 1 in 1,000,000, I'm going to back off. But if she says 1 in 1,000, I'm going to chase this girl down. So she replied, 1 in 100. So I was like, so I rang her up straight away. And I was like, here's all the things in my life where the odds were 1 in 100, and I made it happen. And she'd just been on a missions trip up to the Karen. And Declan, who's with me, he's volunteering for Compassion, but he has such a heart for the Karen. Compassion works with the Karen. He goes there. He's been there twice, 2 or 3 times this year just to serve the Karen. And Compassion sponsors like about 50,000 Karen. There's a great persecution happening with them, but we're raising up these Christian leaders. And Declan's a big part of that with us. And she had just been up there to this refugee camp, and she realized they'd seen all these people hear the gospel for the first time. And she came back, and she was so excited. And I took her to a dance floor. I took her to a ball. It was like a beautiful ball that this Christian youth ministry put on. And I took her there, and I was so excited. I remember driving up, and I'd never seen her dress before. She looked so beautiful. I had to pull off the side of the road and just say, Rosie, this is unsafe how I'm driving. Let me just tell you how beautiful you are. Then we'll get back in the road. And we got back on the road. And we drove up to the ball. And we walked in there. I didn't walk in there with like when I was with my boys, you know? Like Dave or the other fellas, you know, Rod. Nah, I walked in there like I was with a princess. I'm with this girl. I was like a king in there. And I took her to the dance floor. And my moves were crazy that night. I was so excited. This girl's just been serving the Quran. I want to marry her. We're not dating yet, but I'm excited. She's come to the ball with me. And she walked off the dance floor embarrassed by my moves. Second time I took her to the dance floor, the moves were just as crazy. Don't think Michael Jackson, think the Wiggles. Think all the Wiggles moves at once. I'm in love with this girl. Three times she walked off the dance floor. Three times she came back to the dance floor. The next night, we were a couple. A year later, we were married. 16 years later, that's our family! So this story is not how I humbled myself. It's really about how Rosie humbled herself before my dancing. And she ended up marrying me, and it's been so wonderful. And so we're so passionate about this. Now, David, he was a man of great humility. He was so ready to go low and humble himself for a great blessing. And for me, like maybe there's someone next to you and you have to humble yourself to marry them. If that's them, just give them a little nudge. Yeah, I humbled myself for you. I get that. That's Rosie to me. But David's act of humility was prophetic of the act of humility that Christ would do on the cross. So David, he becomes king. And it says this about David. When he first became king, day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army. Like the army of God. And one of the first things this army does is they capture the city of Jerusalem. And David desires to bring the Ark of the Lord into this new city that they just captured, Jerusalem. And I desire to see Jesus come into the slums of Negros. The Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus, the King of Glory. Theologians believe that this Psalm 24 was all about David writing this psalm for the Ark of the Covenant to come into Jerusalem. The first time David attempts to bring the Ark into the city, they come up with their own plan. I don't believe our own plans will transform any slum. And they bring the Ark on a cart pulled by oxen, and the oxen stumble, and a man named Uzzah touches the Ark and he dies. And David is grieved by this. And the Ark is left there with the household, and the blessing of God fills that family and everything they had. David is fixated. He must have the Ark and its blessing in Jerusalem. He assembles all of Israel to bring the Ark of the Lord into the city of Jerusalem. And this time, David moves the Ark as Moses commanded, according to the word of God. He calls the priests to consecrate themselves, and he brings the Ark to Jerusalem. And David, with all his heart and in great humility, he dances and celebrates as the Ark comes into this city. It is thought that as David wrote this, this was him talking about what happened with Uzzah, where he touched it with unclean hands, how he wanted to see the King of Glory come and the blessing of God transform the city. So I'm going to read it again. And as you read this, I want you to think of David seeing the Ark of the Covenant come in. But I also want to see this, Jesus coming into our schools, in our city here. Jesus coming into our slums in Negros. Jesus, where has God called you? Coming into our families. David's home, he set it up in Jerusalem. He didn't just want the King of Glory in his city. He wanted the King of Glory in his home. We want Jesus in our homes. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That includes Negros. That includes our schools. That includes our aged care facilities. The world and those who dwell therein. For he has established it upon the seas. And he's founded upon the seas, and he has established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. I just believe this for our schools across Western Australia. I believe that there's Davids who are both male and female, who God wants to come through their lives into our schools. Like young people who want to see Jesus in our aged care facilities. I believe it. They want to see Jesus, the King of Glory, come in. The ancient doors lifted up, that he would come in. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty. More powerful than any poverty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. I love that song that we sang today. It's one of my all-time favorites. Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. And I love that second verse. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord. The risen Lord, the King of Glory. David, this new king, with this great army, like the army of God, listen to this, in humility, is dancing and celebrating before the King of Glory. He is humbly announcing, there is a greater king than him, the King of Glory. David is saying this, all eyes on Jesus. He is the king of the city, Jerusalem. And I believe he is the king of any community where God would send his children to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Michelle, David's wife, mocked him for what he was wearing in his dancing. And David responded with this, I was dancing before the Lord. Yes, I'm willing to look even more foolish than this. Even to be humiliated in my own eyes. David, with his great army around him, clothed in humility, as the King of Glory was clothed, as the King of Glory comes through the gates of the city. David, listen to this, I love this. David desired to build a temple for God now in this city. Ark's there, his home's there, it's the capital, and now he wants to build a temple. But God told him, it would not be David. It would be Solomon. And David's response was not pride. David's response was humility. He resourced Solomon to do this. David's humility was in every direction. It was to Saul, who came before him, who didn't even understand him. He was still humble towards Saul. He kept safe boundaries and he got out the way, but he still stayed honorable towards him. It was in the way he led his people in humility, and it was to those coming after him. Solomon, may our humility go in every direction, to those before us, to those with us, and to those coming after us. One generation later, the city has the temple of God built, and the glory of God fills the temple, and the blessing of God fills the city like no other nation on earth. David was fixated on having the King of Glory in Jerusalem. And it took a generation to do it. But I believe, how do you transform a school? Let's resource our young people. Let's serve them. How do you transform Negros? Let's resource our young people. Let's come alongside them. Let's look at the example of Jesus. Now, Tracy shared that Psalm 24 was used on the first day of the week during festivals. She's right, it was. So when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey on the first day of the week, Psalm 24 would have been read around the land. Who is the King of Glory? In fact, they even asked, as Jesus was coming into the city, who is this? Had they known the time of their visitation, they would have said this: "This is the King of Glory." In great humility, David worshipped and danced as the ark came into Jerusalem. And in great humility, Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem. And then he went on that day of the triumphal entry. In that following week, he then went lower than the donkey. He then went and washed his disciples' feet the night before he was crucified. And then he went lower than washing his disciples' feet. It's what David shared. He gave his back to be ripped apart. And he gave his head for thorns. He gave his hands for nails. His side for a spear. His feet, every part of him was crucified on the cross. Every part of him, that's how low he went. And then he went lower than the cross. The King of Glory went to the grave. That's how low he went, that his glory would come into Negros, into our schools. And that moment when he was there, so low in the grave, he calls us to come into that same humility. That we would say a big everything yes, not 25% yes to the gospel, not 50% yes. Lord, whatever you need, here's my back, here's my head, here's my hands. Jesus calls us to everything. When he was crucified, the Apostle Paul talks about that we too were crucified with Christ. Our old sinful natures, every part of us must be crucified with Christ. That when Christ died, we died with him. And then we would go with him into his suffering, wherever that looks, to bring his gospel. But not only did he go to the cross and die, in the greatest moment, there he was, in the grave. He rose, the King of Glory, ascended out of the grave, resurrected. And we were resurrected with Christ. As Christ rose from the grave, just as we die with him, we also rose with him, created in Christ, in his resurrection, for good works. We were made now to do good works, to see Christ come into our cities, into our slums, into our schools, into our aged care facilities, into our families. We were made for it in the resurrection. We were created in Christ for good works. And he rose from the dead and he came in his glory and he gave us the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And then he rose again up into heaven and he walked into the heavenly throne room, the King of Glory, honored in the fullness of who he is, the Lamb who was slain, the Lion who was risen. And we come with him now in both places. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But we also lay our old lives down at the cross with him. The full yes is yes to the humility of Christ. And yes to be seated with him in Christ. What does it mean to be seated with him in Christ? It means that the fullness of the work of the cross would be outworked through us. That what it's like in heaven, we would bring to earth. That if there's peace and kindness and faithfulness and long-suffering in heaven, that we would bring that on earth. That the culture of heaven we would bring to earth. The humility of heaven we would bring to earth. The love of heaven we would bring to earth. And just as Jesus showed that by going to the cross, we would go to the cross. We would give him the full yes. What I love about Psalm 24 is the answer of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? The only reason why we are seated in Christ is because Christ, the King of Glory, went into Jerusalem and went to the cross. And in Christ, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who has clean hands and pure hearts? None of us. But in Christ, our hands are clean. In Christ, our hearts are made pure. In Christ, our old self is crucified so we can outwork clean hands and pure hearts in our life. I can't outwork clean hands and pure hearts except in Christ. So my sinful nature has been broken on the cross, so day by day I can learn to outwork who I am in Christ because of his work. How can we speak and not bring up what is false and speak truthfully with boldness? Because the Holy Spirit that was given to us through the work on the cross. Through the cross we are brought into right standing with the Father, given all the spiritual blessings in Christ. And now, as one generation, as one family in Christ, before our beloved Father, we are in Christ together. The Holy Spirit revealing the Father's heart. And from here, in Him, we seek God for His glorious love to come to earth. How do we outwork David's humility? I cannot do it. My humility will not take me that low. But in Christ, we're given every spiritual blessing. The Holy Spirit, that the humility of Christ would be outworked through us. My question is this: how low will you go? Riding a donkey, lower. Washing the disciples' feet, lower. The cross. To join Christ in laying down our lives for our enemies, for others. This is how low we must go. Let me finish with this story. This is Michelle. She shared her story with me. When she was young, her parents in the Philippines, and this is the culture of the enemy, what you're about to hear. And a slum is often a place where it's just such an absence of the kingdom of God. They said to her, "You're ugly. You're going to be a thief, a drug addict, or a prostitute." That was the culture of the slum. The opposite, the culture of heaven. It was the culture of hell. But she was sponsored. And went through the compassion program. She was discipled. She was one of the very first people to go through our transformational leadership training. I said, "Michelle, what do you do now?" She said, "On Saturdays, I bring in the local pastor's kids. I get them on a radio station. And I get them to share the gospel over the radio." She said 500,000 people tune in each week to hear these pastor's kids tell the gospel. She said, "I do it on the radio because the kids in the slums, that's how they can hear the gospel." I said, "What else do you do?" She goes, "I work with girls who are stuck in prostitution. I get them off the streets. I give them jobs. I disciple them. I release them from all types of poverty." I said, "Michelle, your parents said you would be a prostitute. Now you are releasing girls from prostitution. This is amazing." And she bowed her head to me, ashamed. She said, "I've only helped 115. I said, "What? 115? That's incredible. She said, "In my city alone, there are another 100,000 girls stuck in prostitution." I found her slides a couple of weeks ago from when I met her. And this is what it said on the slides. And I know your heart is for the Philippines, so I pray this would break you. 2 million children are sexually abused in the Philippines every year. Out of the 1.2 million children trafficked into slavery worldwide, 100,000 are Filipinos every year. That means 1 out of 12 children who are sold into slavery is from the Philippines. That's one Filipino child every 12 minutes. She said 25% of global human trafficking involves Filipinos, meaning that for every 4 humans trafficked across the globe, one of them is Filipino. I tell you this, the enemy is coming like a flood to the Philippines. But there's a church in Basindin that says, not on our watch. There's a church in Bethany that I know you have a heart for this land. And I tell you this, every small act of humility into the Philippines brings the King of Glory. It doesn't need to be a big overarching moment. Because hardly any knew that when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, the greatest act of the kingdom of God was happening. That a seed was going to die, but arising from the seed was to be a mighty church. And the church was going to spread across the earth. And it was going to bring the resurrection power of Christ. And it was going to go right into the poverty, no matter what it looks like. And it was going to bring the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is so beautiful. Faithfulness and grace and love and humility. These things are so beautiful in Christ. They transform cities. They transform cities. The word will tell you it's something else that transforms a city. I will tell you this. It is Christ. It is Christ. It is Christ. It has always been from Him. It will always be through Him. It will always be to Him. It is Jesus. And so our one act, it can look like something so simple. Sponsoring a child. Going on a mission trip. Going over there and teaching the Torah. Whatever it looks like, I tell you this. The Philippines needs Jesus. And Jesus gave everything from His back to His hands to His everything for these children. May we also give everything. Whatever that looks like, whether it's compassion, whether it's something else. And I ask you boldly and I ask you from my heart, I ask you to join with us in releasing children from poverty, no matter how that looks for you. If it's with compassion, it's $48 a month. It starts from $48 a month. You can sponsor a child. You can sponsor multiple children. It'll change a child, but it will connect a family to a local gospel-focused church. But more than that, they will hear the gospel week after week after week after week after week after week. You can sponsor a child with compassion. You can also sponsor a project. And many people sponsor projects. If we want to start a new compassion project, we have people in Perth who give gifts. And we can open up a new compassion project in a local church. I'm going to leave you this video. And I've only just seen this video once. It's just been made by someone in Perth who went to the Philippines. And they shot this video. So it's the first church I've showed that. I'm really excited. I want you to see this when you see it. See a life transformed. But see the children that you're sponsoring transformed. This is our hope, that Christ would transform them completely. And if you want to sponsor a child or another child or more children today, come to the stand, have a chat to us. Declan and I are there to serve you however we can. If you want to sponsor a project, come and have a chat to me. But let's do this for one, for Jesus, the King of Glory.
My childhood life was very challenging. When we are studying, we have to share pencils. The pencil, you must sharpen it, it will get smaller. But we must use it until it will be, until the eraser or the pencil will get smaller. We lose some hopes because we think we are not getting to high school. Our house is at the back of our church. We have a small window. I can see people playing. I started go to church 4 years old. I remember I was playing outside. My mother called me, "Angel, you'll take some pictures and they will register you." Compassion Ministry has provided us school supplies, more friends, more connection to others. Also, my sponsor give me a gift every birthdays, so we don't have to share some pencils, some socks, some bags. Now remember, I said, now I can go to high school. Now I can go to college because of this program. I can feel that every time I wrote the letter to my sponsor, I just imagine I was talking to her face to face. Surprisingly, my sponsor gave it a fun to buy a guitar. It's like an engine to my faith. So I want to give best to God by serving and by playing guitar. Since we started our business to have this printing shop, I said to my wife that it is a business, but it is also a ministry. Back then when I was sad, we were struggling with school supplies. And right now, I'm selling school supplies now. Sometimes I sell the school supplies, especially to the kids, on cheaper price. And sometimes it's free because I've been there, it's hard. I have two kids. It brings me a joy that I can provide. If my sponsor was here, wait, my sponsor was watching me. She changed my life. I just want to hug her. For taking my life, my situation, releasing me from poverty, and releasing me from spiritual poverty.
Praise the Spirit, breathe. Father, I just thank you for the ministry of compassion. I thank you as we see Steve's heart and the heart of all those who serve. I think of Declan as well. And I just love, Father, how they're not thinking it's their own mission, it's their own energy, it's their own desire and drive, but they just see Jesus and they see Jesus' people, your church, connecting together to be a blessing to many people. So I just pray that you protect them and their families. Guide them as they continue to speak this truth and reality of these situations to different churches. And Father, continue to stir up our hearts to help us know how we can be a blessing to others for all you've done for us. I thank you for the stories we've heard, and I thank you, Father, that you're the one who's doing this, so I thank you for that. Also, just pray, Father, for all of us, whatever you've been speaking to us through your Spirit, whether it's conviction, whether it's comfort, whatever it is, Father, that we just sit with that for a moment and just reach out to you, experience your comfort and care. Father, if there's areas of surrender, as Steve was saying, something that we're not quite willing to let go of, please bring that to light and show us that you are on the other side of surrender. So help us to see that. And so please be with us now as we fellowship together, as people go up and talk with Steve and Declan, and as we just meet together and share comfort together. I thank you for this church, Father. I've got a lot of affection for them, and thank you so much that you love us even more. So I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.